Here we go. So, Simon Yudalid, Seif Dalid. Mutter litol talas chavero ulvarach aleha. It's okay, it's allowed. If you see your friend's talas lying around, you don't have a talas of your own, you can grab his and make a bracha on it. Ubilvad shiakapulosa im matza mukupelas. Just have to put it back, but you found it, so if it was folded up, you have to put it back folded up. So I'm not even discussing love this year, the Mishnah Berurah is going to have to deal with all sorts of problems. But that's what it's saying. The Mechaber Paskins, if you need to borrow a talis and you haven't got one, you see your friend lying on, you can assume he'd let you have it. Mishnah Berurah in Yud Gimel says, Perish, the pshat is, Shlom Adato, you're borrowing your friend's talis without him knowing about it. The Nichale Le'inish, the Levit Mitzvah B'mamone. Because the Gemara Pesachim says that people are happy people are happy if other people are doing mitzvahs with their money, with their stuff. What difference does it make? I'm not using my talis now, so I'm happy someone else is doing a mitzvah with my thing. For Dafka Ba'akroi, Mishnah Berurah says, okay, if you think that, so never buy another talis again. Just borrow someone else, you know, whatever, just take someone's. No. Avo Bekvias, also you can't, on a regular basis, copy your friend's talis. But Filo Ba'akroi, even if it's a temporary one-off thing or whatever, occasional thing, Dafka Ba'osa Makom. This is all about. We're assessing what's a reasonable expectation for the borrower to have regarding the lender. So, number one, we said it's reasonable, like the Gemara already said, like people are happy, what do I care if you borrow my talis? I'm happy to borrow my talis, that's cool. But now the Mishnah Berurah says, Dafka Ba'osa Makom. It means, where you found it, don't find my talis in this shul, walk home to your house with my talis, because like, who knows, I'll get it back again. To take the talis out of my house and go to shul with it, or ipcha, or take it from the shul to the house, usher. That's no way to efshar, because it's not unlikely. It's possible. Shemakbid alav v'havi gezel. It's not unreasonable to assume that the owner of that talis would not want that to happen, so to go out the shul or whatever, and that would make it gezel. Now you become not a bar, you become a thief, and of course you can't make a bracha on a stolen talis. Hayim prima gadim shekasav debechol gavni roy lizayir. The Prima Gadim says, listen, in any situation, it is ideal to be careful. If you could ask the guy, if the owner of the talis is around, you should ask him. Right? If you can easily resolve the mystery of is the guy makbid on you borrowing a talis or not, even though we said you could assume he wouldn't mind, if you all you have to do is just ask the guy, then you better ask him, because maybe he wouldn't mind. And all the more so, obviously, if you know the guy does mind, then you can't help yourself with talis. You can't say, oh, the Gemara Pesachim says, people are happy if you do mitzvah talis. Yeah, but if you know he isn't, then he can't. Okay. Now, the Rama here brings out something which is not to talis, but it's very nogeil l'halacha maisa. It says, v'hu adin b'tefillin. Same goes for tefillin. If you find your friend's tefillin lying around, you can assume that he wants you to do mitzvah with him and you can borrow his tefillin. Of a aser lilmod misfarim shel chavero below da'ato, but not borrowing your friend's books. No way. The chashin and shema yikra osam belimudo, because there's not a reasonable chance that when you're reading from his book, you'll tear the pages, and the guy there. And since that could happen, you can't assume that the owner of the book would be just happy to let you borrow his book, because books have a limited life. Now, let me sit outside first before we see inside. Again, this is. What we're doing here, what Chazal are doing, and the Ramaz bring down from the Meforshim before, and the Milki Yosef, etc., that, like, we're assessing what normal people would expect. And we're saying a normal person would be happy for you to wear his tefillin, just like your talis, but not his book, because they break. You would have to use your own common sense, or posik, or whatever, to determine what people would normally want in this day and age. I would be inclined to think that books are in the same category as talis nowadays, and people really aren't that makbid on using their books. That's what I would think. That's my inclination. You'll see the Mishnah Berurah is not that way inclined, particularly, but that would be my thinking. And perhaps tefillin just the opposite. Perhaps people are pretty strict about tefillin today because tefillin are rather expensive, and if mishandled, it can break, and that's a big expensive problem. Right. So now, my knee jerk would say, listen, in the time of the Ramah lived in the 1500s, I mean, the Ramah didn't have bound books, he had scrolls. Right? The printing press was already out, but unlikely, I'm sure his farm were I'm sure they were handwritten, not typeset. And, like, those are very expensive things, and even if they were typeset, they were mighty expensive things. And people don't want their books used, you know, because it's a limited life. Limited life. Today, A, books are cheap, and B, books are durable. You know, books are just there as durable. But now, books are... Yeah, so, tefillin, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what tefillin. So, what do you say?
Once in a while, though, it's okay to go from the in and out, you might say, right?
No, if you're the shomer, there every 3 days, it's a rolled Megillah, always will get moldy. It's a separate issue. If you find someone's scroll, that's because if you don't, it will get ruined. So of course I'm watching it from time to time. But you can't read it. You can read it while it's going, but two guys. So that's the discussion there. Well, you know, I think a poll here. If you lift your tefillin on the table in shul, you forgot about them. The 7 o'clock minion. Would you mind if some random person put them on at 8 o'clock minion? You don't care. You'd be happy.
No, I wouldn't be happy.
You wouldn't be happy. What do you say? You wouldn't mind. What do you say?
I don't know. Are they clean?
What, is the guy clean? Does he have lice? see, there's a lot of foot dragging here. What do you say? Depends how you put it back. But yeah.
Right, and also,
you know, they readjusted
it. Right, well, obviously, readjust the knot for sure. So you see, some people, that's why I'm inclined also to speak.
People are so careless with people's property nowadays.
Right.
Yeah,
you're not so keen on people's. But you're safer if you left your sitter or your chumash or whatever on the table. You wouldn't care, right?
But then somebody might eat food and get crumbs in it and you don't know it.
That's true, but here's the question. This is the bottom line question. If a random person, you don't know, we're talking a random person, walks in and says, oh, I see you have a bava kama, could you mind if I bar for an hour?
Yeah.
You wouldn't think twice, right? So that's why, would you think twice? I would think twice. So that's my inclination is the Sfarim today is the opposite. Tefillin, I'm not so sure. You're not sure either.
Every time I look at Gemara, I call him like 2 dozen times just to get it back.
Yeah, okay, well,
that... feel like I was the star.
Okay, so that's that. Now, the Mishnah Berurah inside, he discusses the details here. But like I say, it has to be tempered with what's real life in our day and age. In any case, so now the Mishnah Berurah, it's Sif Katan Tes Zion. Oh no, sorry. Tesva, what happened? Oh, I skipped something. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back. I'm going to take one step back. You know, well, no, we'll go forward. We'll come back at the end. So Tes Zion, you're borrowing without him knowing about it. Ifila ba kri ba alma. Borrowing his tefillin for time. Am I messing something up here? No, sorry. Books, the books. Even ba kri ba alma, you're not allowed to even occasionally borrow a guy's sefer. To chashin and shema yikra behen. Maybe you're gonna read the book. Harbe, more than, you know, you're going to read it, get into it. She yiskaru meirov hashimosh, till it gets torn. It's susceptible to tearing, and therefore no way. Va'ol mahagin kishemotzi in sidr tfila omachzer beis hakneses. The Mishnah Berurah. Now remember, the Mishnah Berurah lived at the turn of the century, roughly speaking. Say 100 years ago-ish or so. Which is, the bindings weren't as good as they are today, that's for sure true, and probably less durable. But we're not talking 6th century Ramaz, you know, we're not talking those kind of books. And there he's saying, people help themselves in my day and age to Sidurim on the table in Machzor, right? And he doesn't like it. Any Yodea, Hetzel, Azav, no idea how that's mutter to do. Demaishna, Sidur, Misfarim. What's the difference between Sidur and Misfarim? It's based on the Prima Gadam. So you see, so the Mishnah Berurah isn't so keen on you helping yourself to Misfarim. I'm still fairly comfortable, and I discussed it with Malinot today. Like, maybe people were poorer back then, and books cost more, and they were less, talk less, you know. Books are durable today. They're just durable.
On a page
if you pick a book by its middle and like pick it up and put it, fuck it. When's the last time a book of yours broke? Books don't break anymore. They don't break. They don't tear. I mean, you know, like anything could break, but like they don't break. They're not, I mean, so I'm inclined to still say. And we took a quick survey over here. Sfarim would not be a problem. Now, I skipped something on accident, which is an important side point. He said, back talking about borrowing your friend's talis, he said, "Ubavad shiyakapalosa." You have to make sure that you fold it back up again. Imatza mukupelas. If you found it folded, put it back how you found it. So on that, I skipped. Sorry, I'm going back now to tesvav shiyakapalosa. Fold it up, kikfula rishon. Fold it up just the same way. No, the same way. Just the same way. This is talking about talis, but same to go for tefillin if you're going to borrow tefillin.
The word borrow, you mean specifically permission, right?
No, the case was you found it on the table. I don't have a talis, I see yours lying on the table. The mechaber said I could borrow it because you wouldn't mind.
So for a talis. Never asked.
Never ask. That's the point. You don't think people would makpid today, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's really borrowing. I mean, like, to me, borrowing somebody,
because it's a mitzvah, that's
why. So, exactly. So here, the Gorm Sachem of Dalet says, people are happy, for mitzvah items, I'm happy to do it. Yeah. We're assuming that's the assumption here. Yes, we're not talking about borrowing your car, because I'm not talking about that. Okay, now, so he says, put it back how you found it. Yeah, we're not taking, oh, exactly. So, he says, put it back how you found it. Now, Ubishabis, now, I'll read the sentence and I'll say the story. Ubishabis yikabalasa velok fularishon. You should fold it up again, but in a different way than how you found it. V'magnavram, meikel b'shabas. Magnavram says, forget it on Shabbos. You don't have to fold it at all. Shalo l'kapel klal. Don't fold it at all. There's two. No, like, that's the din. The din is, well, we'll visit it in a second. But the issue is this. Folding a talis on Shabbos is potentially problematic for two reasons. Number one, folding that back on the seam, like on the fold, is considered to pressing it, like re-putting it back together again, like cleansing it, cleaning it, making it look nice, which is not something it's like tikkun mana, it's kvisa, it's all on the seam, maybe cleaning the line. And they don't like that. They don't like that. It's usher to. One of the ways you can do malabin, the malach malabin is like scouring, like rubbing, shafshef. That's what it could be like. It could be scrubbing it. It could be you're just repressing it, making it look nice. Therefore, all those reasons, the halacha is you may not fold the garment back up on its fold again. That's halacha l'maisa. You can't do it. Period. Now, there's a separate issue, which is folding a talis on Shabbos. So, like, why are you folding already? You're folding because you want to have it folded up for tomorrow, or you want it to be, unwrinkled for tomorrow. If that's your reason, so then you got a problem in your hand, because that's called hachana, that's preparation for after Shabbos. Right. So you have two separate problems. As far as the first one goes, your etza is, well, don't fold it on the seam, then you're okay, right? As far as the second one goes, you don't really have such a great etza unless...
Only wear it on Shabbos.
Then it's chana for next Shabbos? No, it's still... People don't. They don't fold it away.
It's chana for next Shabbos?
Yeah, you don't do that. So what people... Some people just plop it, leave it for next time. Some other people might feel like, you have to know what's really going on in your head. Like, I don't want to crumple the toss lying around my house all day. It's like, I clean up after myself, and that's how I am. And I don't want to toss lying around on Shabbos. I want to clean up. If that's the case, you would not have a problem with Hachana, because it's for Shabbos day, being clean. It's the same as anything. Like, the same problem. Cleaning up your house, and putting away your dish in the dishwasher, and washing the dishes, all that kind of stuff. But taking out the garbage is a little bit different. It's true, taking the garment is another time. Taking the garment is a problem. A, it's mukta, you got a problem there. And B, it has to be, it could be bothersome, taka, bothersome. Yeah. Bothering is different. I mean, it could be the same, but...
No.
Yeah, it's different. Garbage is a little slightly different parsha. But doing the dishes. Let's say you don't need, you have dirty dishes for Friday night, you don't need them for rest of Shabbos. You're working out for lunch. Bonagin, I'm just illustrating the point. Can you wash the dishes on Friday night? You have to leave them in the sink to Motzi Shabbos. The answer is you have to leave them in the sink to Motzi Shabbos. Ah, but if you're the kind of person, and this is very common, like, especially for women, like, I can't go to sleep at night. There's dirty dishes in my sink. So now, of course, you can do it on Shabbos. So every man to his own. But the principle should be clear. If you need menuchas and nefesh on Shabbos, okay, not. So back inside here, we do that din again. So he says, listen, put it back how you found it. Ubishabas yikapel osa lok kfula rishon. Fold it back so it's neat, how you expect it to get back, but in a different folding, not on the original folds, because of the malabin problem. And then Magen Avraham says he's makel on Shabbos altogether to not be makapel, because you got the problem of hachana afterwards. You're leaving it. You'll understand. Okay. Leave. That's that. Good. Okay, one sec. Do you have time for one more? Yeah, great.